you know where we're going? How many of you know where we're going? Isaiah what? There you go. Somebody's been here before. Isaiah chapter 10. When I get on something, I stay on it as long as the Holy Spirit will let me stay on it, because I like to exhaust as much as possible. But how many know the Scriptures are inexhaustible? In other words, you will always find something fresh if you're pursuing after God. You can read the Scripture many times and then go back many days later, weeks later, sometime months later, or even years later, and God can show you new things out of the same Scripture that you read. That's what's unique about the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that we cannot live by the natural food, but we have to live by the Word of God. Amen. So this is important in our growth, coming and hearing the Word of the Lord and the teachings that we receive, because this is the only way that truly we can grow in faith, because faith comes by hearing. Amen. And what I'm going to teach tonight, there's not a lot of faith being generated in this area, because like last week we talked about the spirit of counsel. Well, you don't hear too many teachings on the spirit of counsel. And tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of might. Now, again, you don't hear too many teachings on the spirit of might, the anointing of might. And because you don't hear too much teaching on it, there's not much faith developed for it. It's okay to breathe every once in a while. Say yes, amen. Glory to God. Before I get excited and start going fast, because they remind me that we interpret the messages into Spanish, you know, then sometimes I go faster than they can translate. All right, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Let's read that one again, because it defines the anointing. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from his shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." So we have defined the anointing and said it is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. Then over, if you will, just turn one more chapter there. You may not even have to turn your page. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." Who is that? Who is that? Jesus, right. "And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Now, it's talking about the anointing, or what we're calling the seven facets of the anointing of God. And all of these anointing, or all of this anointing, if you will, was on Jesus, okay? What we need to understand and what we want to find out, if that's available to us, can we use that anointing? And can we have that anointing? So we find out that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Jesus said, remember, the first time he went out into public ministry, the first time he went into the synagogue, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." I'm going to tell you something, church. It's very difficult to do anything for God without the anointing. That's why I told you last week, We learn what the anointing is, we learn what the anointing does, and we learn how to protect the anointing in our life. We can't operate and protect that anointing in our life if we're not living our life for, you know, if we're not living our life for God. If we're living in sin, or we're living, you know, half in and half out of this thing, how many know that anointing is not going to be there? Come on, somebody. The anointing is not going to be there. I don't know if you've ever experienced the anointing on your life, but the anointing is what breaks the yokes and destroys them and lifts burdens off of your life and off of other people's lives that you minister to, okay? So we've taught all those things, but I want you to see that every one of these facets of the anointing was upon Jesus. Now look at it again. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom," and we've talked about that one, "and the spirit of understanding," we've talked about that one, The spirit of counsel, we talked about that one last week. And then there's the spirit of might. Now, we're going to talk about that one tonight. And then the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, one of the biggest fears, I just want to tell you up front here as you begin to receive what we're going to teach here, the devil's in trouble. Now, I say that to you because one of the biggest fears that he has is not that you know about these things, but that you learn how to operate in these things. He could care less how much of the Bible you know. What disturbs him is when you start becoming a person, a man or woman of faith that steps out in that anointing, using that anointing to destroy his kingdom and to thwart his power. Now, let's begin tonight, because our time too is not real long tonight, but over in the book of Matthew, let's begin seeing how might operated in the life of Jesus and in the ministry of Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, if you would turn over there, please. Matthew chapter 13, and let's read verses 53 and 54. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there." Now, what was the parables that he was teaching? Well, he was teaching parables about the kingdom of God. Same things I've been teaching you. He was talking about the kingdom of God, as if a man would go sow seed. So we know what Jesus was teaching, okay? "And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these what? These mighty works,'" or as another translation puts it, "'these works of might.'" So we see that Jesus operated in this anointing of might. Now, we're going to define it in just a minute, but when you study and you look at the ministry of Jesus, you'll find that there was two basic attributes on his life. One was the anointing of wisdom, and the other was the anointing of might. In other words, when people observed the ministry of Jesus, they saw the anointing of wisdom working, and they saw the anointing of might working. How do we know that it's an anointing? Because it destroys yokes and it removes or lifts burdens. Amen? And so what we want to see tonight is that wisdom and the anointing of wisdom and the anointing of might go hand in hand. Like a glove that fits into a hand, or a hand that fits into a glove. It's like what we were sharing a while ago before the offering time, that wisdom gives us the ability to see something or to know to do something, but the spirit of might or the anointing of might equips us to do it. Now let me say this where you'll understand it. You know, you might have wisdom to operate or to start a business. But just because you've got wisdom to start a business doesn't mean that you have the ability to run the business. Y'all get that a little bit later while you're chewing on that, okay? This is why we need the anointing of wisdom, but we also need the anointing of might. And I'm going to hopefully tell you how to get that tonight. Now, let me give you a definition of the word might. Might is an inherent ability. I mean by inherent, I mean something that exists in your character, like it exists in the character and the very nature of God. It's a quality of God. It existed in the life of God, but we're going to find out that it also can exist in the life of a believer. It denotes, now it's a pretty good definition here, it denotes capability, having not only ability but capability. Might is the ability to perform something. The ability to perform something. Might is the power to work out or to carry out something. You know, it's not, again, just enough to know how to do something, but you need the ability to carry it out. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, God is able"? You know, we say, well, God is able, because, you know, we say God is able and God is able to do anything, or God is able to do everything. But what we really, when we say that, it's not a good foundation of faith, because we know God is able and God is, can do anything. The question that we need to find out is God willing? And if it's God's will, then faith can begin to work and operate in our life. Because once the will of God is known, then we can release faith for that thing to come to pass in our life. Now, let me show you that in the book of Mark right quick. I really didn't want to get too far on that, but I want you to understand that principle, because when we're talking about God is able, we're talking about Almighty God, amen? And we know God is able, but the question is, are you able? I said the question is, are you able? Because God's not going to come down here and do it for us, right? Okay, so in Mark chapter 1, let me read verse 40. It says, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him. Now, how many know if you're a leper, what do you need? You need healing, right? It says, he came down to him saying to him, if you are willing. So he had to find out, first of all, if it's the will of God. How do we find out if something is the will of God? Well, we go right to the Word. We go right to Jesus, right? That's what he did. It says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So this man was, first of all, in need. Yeah, he was in need of a healing, but he was, first of all, in need to know if it was God's will, does he heal or not? He didn't know. So he went to Jesus, and Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. In other words, the man found out that it was the will of God that he would heal him. He said, I am willing. And how many know, it says in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So this aspect of saying God is able is really a weak foundation of faith. We've got to know and understand that we have the ability to get that might in order to equip us to carry out something or what God has called us to do. Now, over in Philippians chapter 4, let's move through the scripture right quick so we can get most of these in. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 13 with me. Might means the ability to perform anything. I'm just still giving you the definition here, okay? Remember, notice the Bible never says that God is power. It says what? God is what? God is love. You see, the Bible is a revelation to us of the love of God. But in demonstrating the love of God, we see a manifestation of His power. See, I love my wife and I love my children. And if you tried to harm them, you would see my power. So is that a revelation of my love or of my power? You see, the Bible is not to show us a revelation of God's power. We know that God's almighty. We know that God's all-powerful. Amen? And we know that God can do anything. Now, the question is, and let's look here, because this aspect of saying God is able, you don't really understand what you're saying, but what you need to understand is that it takes might to be able to give us the ability to do anything. Might means the ability to perform anything, the ability to do anything. Now, when I say anything, I mean anything. Come on. You have to get that understanding. Now, anything that God tells you to do, you can do it if you get might. Now, let's read that. In verse 13, what does it say? It says, I can do what? All things through Christ who what? I can do all things. Now, let me ask you, can you do all things? No, not yet you can't. You hadn't been following me. You can't do all things until you get the might of God to strengthen you to do those things. Now, this is where you separate right here the men from the boys. This is where you separate, because this is why so many Christians get embarrassed. They get hurt. They get ashamed because they go around quoting things, but they don't have understanding of what they're quoting. You have to understand, just because you quote scriptures doesn't make it necessarily so in your own life. You can do all things, is what he's telling you there, but you still have to have the might, or that anointing of might, the ability to do anything, to come upon you in order to do all things or whatever God has called you to do. Do you see the difference? You can't do all things yet. The only way you can do all things is if the ability or the anointing of might comes upon you. I'm telling you, we don't hear too many messages on the anointing of might, so we don't develop faith in this area to know that, yes, I can do all things through Christ or the anointing that strengthens me, but I need that anointing of might to come upon me so that that strengthening will give me the power or the ability to do anything. I can do anything that God gives me, and I've got to have wisdom because I've got to see that it is God, and I've got to see that God is wanting me to do this. But just because he wants me to do it, I've got to come back to the place where I can be equipped to carry it out. Amen. So, if I have the ability to do anything, then I can do all things. So let me take it a step further. Let me make sure you get this, okay? Wisdom is knowing how to do something. Come on. Wisdom is knowing how to do something. Might is the ability to perform it. Now, how do I get wisdom, Pastor? Well, now that's a good question. But let me tell you how wisdom comes. Wisdom comes in your time of prayer. In your time of prayer, God is going to show you, and he's going to give you things to do, and he's going to show you how to do those things. But just because he shows you how to do those things doesn't mean you're ready to go do them yet until you are receiving that anointing of might or the ability to do those things or carry out those things. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Now we got to see that, right? So you got to keep that point in mind. In Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 14 right quick. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch, heard the report about Jesus. And he said to his servants, 'This is John the Baptist.'" Now, he'd already killed John the Baptist, and he thought Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. And he said, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him," or these mighty, as the original says, "these mighty works are in him," are showing forth in him. So Herod saw these works that were upon Jesus, these mighty works. And as I said to you a while ago, there is a hand-in-hand situation where wisdom of knowing what to do, but the anointing of might being there also, being able to carry out what you know to do. Now, we don't have any problem with Jesus, right, having both the anointing of wisdom and the anointing of might. But let's go look at some other things in here, and let's see if it's used anywhere else in the Bible or anybody else had it. Go with me to 1 Chronicles over in the Old Testament right quick. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles, right before 2 Chronicles, if you don't know, right after 2 Kings. Right over in the Old Testament. That's why you need your Bible. It just gives you a good workout. You can learn where the scriptures are, learn where the books of the Bible are. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, what do we say might is? It's the ability to do what? Anything. Do I have that same ability in me? Do I have that capability in me? That's what I got to find out, okay? In other words, where does this might come from, and how do I get it where it's working in my life? How many of you know you need not just the wisdom of knowing how to do something and the understanding of when to do it, but you got to be equipped to carry it out? This is where people fail. This is where people, you know, think that they're going to be successful just because they're operating in wisdom. No, no, no. All right, now let's look. First Chronicles chapter 29, and let's read verses 10. Let's start there. It says, therefore, now look at this. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before the assembly, and David said, now notice what did David do? He blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord. You're going to see something here, and this is one of these messages where you got to kind of stick through it, the whole thing, because you're going to see there's a connection in you blessing the Lord and you receiving that anointing of might. Now look what David said. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Sound like he's up there on the stage leading a congregation into blessing the Lord, doesn't it? Now look at verse 12. It says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. How many? You reign over all, just like his kingdom. It says, and you're, now here, whoa, here we go. We found it. I put in my Bible a big star. I said, I found it. Look what I found. In your hand, where? In your hand is what? Power and might. Did you see that? We found it. We found out where the power and the might of God is. It's in his hand. Now, how do you get it out of his hand? Oh, don't all shout me down at once. How do you get it out of his hand? How do you get that might out of the hand of God? How do you get that hand to rub on you a little bit, the anointing of the anointing of might? Somebody tell, how would you get it out? How would you get that out of his hand, Mr. Joneses? You're a smart self. You ought to know that. Huh? Ask. Ask. Is that what you said? Ask. Do you give your children everything they ask for? Ask. Well, that's only part of it. That's only part of it. See, what does the Bible say? How do we get something out of the hand of God? See, so many people are seeking what God will give them instead of blessing God. In other words, there has to come a place where you're seeking the giver more than you're seeking the gift. What do we see in the life of David? We see him blessing the Lord. Amen. He said, if you seek my face, you will have what's in my hand. How do your children get? You don't have children yet, but you know how most children get from their parents? They get it because they climb up and they start loving on their mom and daddy. Saying, oh, I love you. I love you, mommy. I love, can I have this, mommy? And you know what? You give it to them, don't you? Well, why don't you love on God like that? Why don't you grab him by the little cachetas and, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. You know why? Because you think that looks foolish. And you think, oh, that wouldn't look right. But isn't that what worship is? Isn't that what a heart of worship is? Do you want this, what is in the hand of God? Now, we found out where it is. Now, notice what's in his hand. Look at verse 12 again. He says, in your hand is able to make great and to give strength to who? To all. So, what we find here is what is in his hand is available to those that are in covenant with God. Now, listen to me. When you're in covenant relationship with God, here's how covenant works. You don't give something to your covenant partner without that covenant partner giving something back. When you bless God with your mouth, when you bless God, the fruit of your lips giving thanks, listen, you're giving to God blessing from you. And you know what? Because God is in covenant with you, He's going to bless you back. Everything is available in His hand. But we're not after His hand. We're after His face. Are you with me? Once you get it, once you get what's in His hand, this anointing of might, then you have the ability to do all things. And we know that David had it because we can read the end of the chapter in verse 29. It says, the acts of David, first and last, indeed they were written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan and the prophet, and the book of Gad and the seer, with all, look at verse 30, and with all his reign and what? And his might, and the events that happened to him in Israel. So we know he received not only the wisdom, but he received also the might, the anointing of might to be able to do it. Somebody say amen. Now, go to Judges. Judges. Where's Judges? Next to Matthew. No. Ain't there a Judge Matthew or something? Like somebody said, where's Amos? Next to Andy. Judges chapter 14. Hurry up now. We're almost getting it. So we know where the power is, right? I said we know where the anointing of the Spirit of might is. It's in the hand of God. Now, let's see if anybody else had it. Okay, we know Jesus had it. We know David had it. Now, look at the life of Samson here. Where did I tell you to turn? Judges 14, verses 5 and 6. It says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Now, let me just stop there. What would you do if a lion came roaring against you? Thank you, ma'am. Now, see, here's where people try to get spiritual. How many know if there's a lion bearing down on you, you run. Don't sit there and say, well, let me pray. It's too late to pray. You're gonna get bitten. Amen. You're going to get devoured. Now, once you have faith, you can resist. Amen. The roaring lion. You can stand fast in the faith. But listen, if you're lollygagging around and you're not, this anointing of might is not upon your life. Now, obviously the anointing of might was upon Samson this time because the next verse says, look what it says. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came what? Mightily. Might. 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 The Spirit of might came upon him, and he what? He tore the lion apart with his hands. Now, you won't find in the Bible where, you know, Samson went down to the gym and pumped iron to get all of his strength. His strength came from God, the anointing, that anointing. The Bible says he was the strongest man ever to live. And that was the anointing of the Spirit of might upon him. Amen. The ability to do anything, to carry out something. So we see it on Samson. But let me look at one more here. How about here's another one for you. How about Elijah over in 1 Kings? 1 Kings. We're close over there, so we'll just run over there right quick. 1 Kings. 1 Kings is right after Samuel, the books of Samuel, okay? 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse 44. 1 Samuel 18, verse 44. Okay, here's what it says. Then it came to pass the seventh time. Now remember, this is where Elijah, you know, he prayed. Took him seven times, so don't give up just because you prayed two or three times. Amen? Okay, verse 44 says, it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then, look at verse 46 carefully. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Now, what's in the hand of the Lord? Might is in the hand of the Lord. And how many know if you can get the hand of the Lord on you, then some might is going to rub off on you. If it's in your hand and His hand is on you, then you're going to have that anointing of might come upon you. The anointing of the might is what? The ability to do anything. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthened me, but I've got to have the anointing or the ability of might to come upon me in order to do all things. So we know that it came upon him, it was in God's hand, and he girded up his loins, the Bible says there, and he ran, look, ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now how many know that was not normal or it was not natural? When's the last time you've been on, you know, on the expressway out there and you saw somebody running past you on foot? It was an anointing of might that came upon Elijah that gave him the ability to run faster. And how many know the king's horses were the fastest horses? To run faster than the king's horses, he ran for 21 miles and got there before the king, the fastest horses, and his chariot did. Everybody say the spirit of might. The spirit of might is the ability or the anointing that comes upon you to do anything. I said anything. It is anything. Now, in Daniel's case, Daniel chapter 2, just right on over, Daniel chapter 2, and you turn there right quick, and we'll look at this one. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. It says that the secret, I'm in Daniel chapter 2, 19. It says, and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Say night vision. See, you know, just don't go to sleep, but be prepared to receive something from God even while you're sleeping. So Daniel what? Now here it is again. We know Elijah blessed the Lord. Now look what Daniel, it says what he did. He blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and what? Might are His. So here again, we see that when you bless the Lord, when you get to the place where you call out for wisdom, wisdom comes in prayer, but what we find out that anointing of might comes as you wait upon the Lord. It's not enough just getting to say, well, this is what God wants me to do, because that's wisdom and understanding, you know, how to do it, but I've got to have the ability to carry it out. Amen. You learn to live this way. You know, I have to live like this every day. I don't know about you, because I can't do anything without the anointing. I can't pastor, I can't preach, I can't get people to come to church. All I can do is pray, get wisdom, and ask God for the ability. Are you with me? Okay. Now, here's the question that we need to ask. All these guys, they were connected to the Lord, they were in covenant with God. He gave Daniel, we know He gave Daniel to carry out wisdom and might. And the question is tonight is, can a New Testament believer have this anointing of might? Can a New Testament believer, can the church today in these last days have this anointing of might? Now, I know we don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching on it. And again, let me tell you, that's where we're missing some things, because how many know that faith can only come one way? And that's hearing the Word of God. See, God can equip you to do anything, but you can't do anything until you're equipped to do it. That's where you miss it, and that's where you don't understand, is how to wait on God to get equipped to do what God has given you in wisdom to do. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go and let's answer. I'm telling you, the devil's in trouble tonight, because you're going to learn not only where it comes from, but you're going to learn that you can get it and how to get it. It doesn't bother the devil at all for you to know that it came upon all these other guys. It doesn't bother the devil for you to know that it's out there. What would bother him is for you to figure out how to get it upon your life so that you have the ability in God to do anything. Over in the book of Colossians, New Testament. Let's go over there for a little bit. Are y'all okay? All right, Colossians chapter 1. Now, here's what we're asking. Is this available? Is this anointing of might available to the church today? Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul said. He said, for this reason, verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. We don't just set out and do something, but we got to what? We got to get knowledge of His will, because when we have knowledge of His will, what begins? No, faith begins when the will of God is known. Don't worry, I'll correct you. Sometimes y'all get me messed up. Faith, say it with me. Say, faith begins when the will of God is known. Okay, so what knowledge gives us is the will of God. Amen? Okay, so he prayed for that, that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Wisdom tells us, you know, how to do something, and understanding tells us when we need to do it. You know, there's a time and season for everything. Come on. That you may walk what? Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. How many of you live to please God? Okay. Being fruitful in how many good works? And what? Increasing even more in the knowledge of God. If I can increase more in the knowledge of God, then I can increase in the faith of God. If I can increase in faith, then I can speak the word only. Amen. I can have great faith. Praise God. Strengthen. Look at verse 11. Strengthen with what? All might according to His glorious power. Now let me ask you something. If it was not the will of God for us to have the anointing of might, why would Paul be praying for the church to get it? So we're missing something here, folks. We're missing this anointing, if you will, of might is not only for the New Testament believer, but it is available to us. It is the will of God that we operate in that anointing of that spirit of might. The ability to do anything. In everything. The ability to carry out what God has given us to do. Now, over in the book of Ephesians, let's just back it up a little bit more here and read some more about it. Build your faith. Come on, build your faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul again said, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with what? Might. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit and in the inner man. In other words, he was praying again that you would be strengthened with might. Because if I'm strengthened with might, then through Christ, through the anointing, I can do all things. All things that He strengthens me with His might. I can only do what He strengthens me with His might to do. Ephesians 6:10 tells us is, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Come on with me. Be strong in the Lord. Now, how can I be strong in the Lord? How can I be strong in the Lord? How can I be strong in the Lord? See, you got to stop when you read the Bible and say, how do I get this stuff? How can I have this working in my life? How can I be strong in the Lord? Well, if I'm going to be strong in the Lord, I'm going to have to be strengthened with the power of might. I'm going to have the anointing of might, because the anointing of might gives me the ability to do all things. Am I making sense to anybody here? It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise God. Now, here's what you should know by now after me teaching this. We ought to be convinced. Everybody say convinced. That the anointing of might exists. Do I have any takers? Okay. We ought to be convinced that the anointing of might is the ability in that anointing to do anything. Okay? We ought to be convinced that it appeared on other people, other men in the Bible besides Jesus. It appeared on Jesus too, but it appeared. Now, we ought to be convinced that it is the will of God that as New Testament believers that we have that ability, that anointing upon us, this anointing of might to go along with the anointing of wisdom and the anointing of knowledge and the anointing of understanding and the fear of the Lord. We should be convinced. Come on, shake your head and act spiritual. Okay. All right. Now, how do we get this? How do we get this on us? Now, we've already said that anointing and that spirit of might is in the hand of God. And the Bible teaches us that if I seek His face, then I will have what's in His hand. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, only because I don't have a whole lot of time to completely. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Come on, amen, somebody. Isaiah chapter 40. Tell somebody next to you the devil's in trouble now. Okay. How could anybody stay at home with something like this going on? Now, how do I get this anointing of might upon me? Amen. How do I get this anointing? What if God showed you how to start a multi-million-dollar business? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But how many know, unless you get the anointing of might upon you, it ain't going to work right. Hello, somebody. So we don't just need to know how to do it. We've got to be equipped to do it. Am I making sense? So I want that. I want that upon my life. It's available to me. It's available for me. He gives me everything I need. He said, everything you need is in the kingdom. And it's His good pleasure to give you the keys to the kingdom. Amen. Mm-hmm. God wants you to have the best. God wants to prosper you. God wants you to be above all others. I know it's hard for some of y'all to, you know, digest and stuff, but go ahead and swallow it and you can repent later for your unbelief. Amen. You got to see this, folks. You got to develop faith for these things, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to settle for average. God has not called any of us to be average. See, that's what's wrong with the church today. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. They just settle for second best. They just settle for whatever comes along. God didn't call you to settle for second best. Okay. Now let's read this quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. And I use all my time. Isaiah chapter 40. And let's begin in verse 26, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His what? Might and the strength of His power. And He says, no one is missing. The original says, no one fails. Now, that's where we want to get to, folks, where no one fails. God didn't call anyone in here to be missing in action. God didn't call anyone in here to failure. Now, how do we get success? Well, again, He tells us to meditate on the Word day and night so that we might observe. So we've got to see it. And in order to see it, we got to have faith to believe for it. but we've also got to have this anointing of might so that we have the ability to carry it out. Right? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, to those that have no might, he increases strength. So we don't have an excuse, do we? It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. You know why the youth faint? You know why the young lions faint? Because they don't know how to get it yet. But when you know how to get it, look what it says. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord. You know, waiting on the Lord is not being at the bus stop, you know, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the bus to come by. Waiting here means that you're serving God, that you're blessing God, that you're praising God, that you're doing the things that God has called you to do as a servant of God. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. See, there's the problem with the English language is sometimes the words, you know, mean the same thing. Like wait, like you're waiting on somebody, and like wait, like waitress in a restaurant. And that's what it means here, like a restaurant waitress, where a waiter, where you're serving. You're ministering to that table. You're serving that table. The only thing, you're not serving a table. You're serving God. And you're serving the Almighty God. The God who has the power of might in His hand. And you get that hand on you, then that anointing of might's got to rub off on you. And when it rubs off on you, you will have the ability to do all things. Through Christ, through the anointing that strengthens us. Bless God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It says, those that wait on the Lord, those that serve, those that minister, those that know how to use their mouth to praise God, not curse and not talk ugly and talk negative and be jealous because somebody's got more than you got. Bless God. You can get what anybody else has got if you get the anointing of might to get it. But that's where you spend your time. You ought to spend your time praising God. Those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Have their, listen, look. It says, they shall renew their strength. I know that scripture so well, but out of the King James, it said they shall renew their strength. Come on, somebody. How many know you can't renew until you once had something new? Amen. You can't repeat till you have a Pete. Right? Say, renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then the last one, because I'm out of time. Let's go to Psalms. Oh, man. Are y'all okay? One more. Psalms 34. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, realize I have the ability. Listen, you have to realize that your ability has to come from God. Amen. Hallelujah, that especially in what you and I are called to do. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. One more here. Psalms 34:10. See, oh, I got to back up. No. Yeah, oh, taste. See, we need to give the taste test. How many know somebody can tell you, oh, this is the best cake. This is the best pie. This is the best dessert you ever ate. But how many know you got to taste it in order to, oh, taste. And see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want. Say no want. There's no lack to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hungry. Why? Because they don't know how to get it yet. They don't know how to go out and fight for that food. They have to depend on mama. They have to depend on daddy. But I'm telling you, you're growing up, amen? You're coming under the wing of the Almighty God. It said the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, What happens when we seek the Lord? We'll find what's in His hand. What's in His hand? Oh, that anointing of might. What's the anointing of might? The ability to do anything. To carry out what God has given you as an assignment. It says, those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Now, thing is in italics, right, in your Bible. So you can either use it or not use it. It's put in there for the translators. So you could say, those that seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. Did you see that? Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. I'm telling you, folks, that the way that we get that anointing of might upon our life is by waiting time in prayer. We get out of prayer too early. We don't wait on God. Every failure, I think I've told you this before, but every failure that you have in life is a prayer praise failure. Every failure. Nothing can replace the presence of the Lord in your life. Did you hear what I just said? Nothing at all can replace the presence of God in your life. But those that wait upon the Lord, what happens? The answer is in the await. And the answer has everything you need to do in life. Not only does it have the answer, but it has the might in it or the ability to do it. Oh, somebody ought to say praise the Lord. See, nothing can replace the presence of God. You get in the presence of God and you can take on whatever life throws you. That's why you've got to be praisers, folks. You've got to be praisers. Every one of these people had that equipment and equipped and received that power because they used their mouths to bless God. You can see that through the Word of God. A man or a woman who does not spend time praising God will not experience the anointing of might upon their life. When I got this revelation, that's why I get pretty vocal about that kind of stuff. You know what? Because I know I cannot operate without the Spirit and the anointing of might. I can't. How could I? But you know what? Really, you can't either. I said, you can't either. You need to understand that. In fact, I think we ought to just get up right now where we are. I should.